Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Paranormal Collaboration, where true paranormal investigators come together. Real topics, real people, real truth. With your hosts, Bill and Chris Reed.
Hey.
It's Monday.
It is.
You're listening to Paranormal Collaboration with Chris and Bill Reed. And our lovely producer, Amy Green. Guy Queen.
And we are coming live from Gasport, New York.
Yes, we are. Right outside of Niagara Falls, where I think Chris and Amy are going to put me in a barrel tomorrow and nail it closed and put it over.
We're not putting you in a barrel. You're going over without it. Swim, baby, swim.
So, yeah, we were, we're on our little tour.
On a little tour?
Yeah, a little.
We've already put 5,500 and some miles on.
Did we really?
And that's not counting the back from New Orleans. This is no little trip. Barely begun.
Yeah, so we're in this past weekend we were guests at the Iron Island Museum in Buffalo, New York. Linda was gracious enough to have us there, and we did an investigation to raise money for their museum for some needed repairs. Beautiful, beautiful location. If you've never been there, you should go. Very, very unique. Lots of activity. It really was a cool location. They're very, very gracious hosts. Beautiful condition.
Definitely worth checking out.
Absolutely. And then this weekend we're continuing our New York tour.
Oh, and if you've never been to Dinosaur Barbecue, bet your asses to Dinosaur Barbecue. It is absolutely phenomenal food.
Yeah, well, it was great.
You like smoked meat.
And lots of it. Mm-hmm. Really good. And a sensual slathering of barbecue and maybe some white tango. I highly recommend it. It was really good. Mm-hmm. It was a really cool place. We had a good time there. Tonight's show, we have with us tonight the queen of the paranormal. So and we have two queens tonight, the queen and the queen of the paranormal. We have Kordrosha Ona Carroll. She has had her own comic book, which was history. She's the first person to be in a comic book superhero doing what she does in real life, which is paranormal investigation. She is an amazing person. She has the TV. She has New Hampshire's Chronicle television shows. The list goes on and on. Paranormal 13 News, which is amazing. It's on 198 countries and all over the U.S. So I'd like to please welcome Kordrosha to the show.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hi, welcome.
Hi.
We're doing great. We're thankful that you did. I butchered your name, did I?
Oh, you did a great job. You did. Didn't slaughter it at all. You actually said it properly. That's wonderful. I was like in shock. Oh, he did a great job. But, you know, almost all the time they just call me KO. I think that's easier, by far.
KO?
Yes, just KO for Kordrosha Ona. Or knockout, as Bruce Tango quoted me. He said, I'm going to call you KO because we were cops. Well, he was a policeman in New Jersey, Elizabeth, New Jersey, for 25 years, and I was a police officer in Lawrence, Massachusetts for almost 5 years. So he called me KO for knockout.
Chris and I.
Excuse me?
State prison system. So there
yes.
You go. It's like a, it's a enforcement
yes.
Reunion here tonight.
Wow.
So, can you tell tell us a little bit about, for those who don't know you?
Okay, for the people that don't know me, they can very easily go to queenoftheparanormal.com and read up on everything there. From there, you can go into social media. You can get to my IMDb page, and the list goes on. So for the people that don't know me, I have been in the paranormal industry, I was going to have to say, almost all my life. We have over seven generations of my grandmothers and my mother's side, Polish. So I've got my babcia, I've got my my stara babka, Rogala, and I was brought up in a bilingual household, Polish and Russian descent. Karosha is just simply translated into Carol and Anne. Anne is Anna or Anastasia or Anastasia, however you want to pronounce it. So we have family that just did dream interpretation, spirit communications, and the like. And so growing up in that kind of household, you think like everybody's like that. And you find out really quickly you're like an oddball. and that's about it. But I just, I just kept it up. And I started investigating the paranormal. I'd have to say when I was truly very, very young, like with friends and my grandmother, my babcia, and my jaju, and that's a grandfather. And it just goes on from there. And I started with Ghost Stories of New England. I was co-producer through Vitacom Productions, and that was Media One. Which was located corporate offices in Andover, Massachusetts, back in the mid-90s, I'd have to say.
Oh, wow.
We did a lot of, ghost stories, investigations, all this kind of stuff. We did them at Washington Hotel for broadcast television and just a whole bunch of things. And then, just stayed there with investigating. And hey, now it's 2019, and people all – they often wonder, like, where did you get your accent? Well, my dad was in the Army, the Air Force, and I was an Army brat and traveled all around the South and was educated right outside of Washington, D.C., and then moved up towards New England in later years.
So what was it that, got you, the single thing that got you involved in the paranormal?
Paranormal meaning what? Like ghost hunting or cryptozoology or just the whole thing, spaceships,
the whole
kind of
thing.
Stuff.
What was it that, got up one morning? I know you said you investigated with friends when you were younger and your grandmother and father. What was it that made you, did you have an experience that made you say, I need to get more answers?
Other than it being a way of life from birth, I would have to say, I'm trying to depict like how old I really was. And I remember being in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. We had come from outside of Washington to come visit relatives. And we're driving in a car. And I told my dad, I know the people in that cemetery. He's going, you don't know anybody in that cemetery. I said, no, I do. I know where they're buried. And he followed my, just to, entertain me, he followed my lead, and I went down these dirt paths, I directed him, and lo and behold, there were the family stones. And he's like, I've never even had you here. And so the ability was quite strong even then. And you try to figure out, how old I was. If we come from outside of Washington and went to visit, I probably was in the first or second grade at that time. So I don't know how old you'd be in the first or second grade. I'm thinking maybe 7 years old, maybe like that.
Yeah, 7, 8.
And and my mom was not involved in any of the paranormal. She just didn't like it. She did not have an ability, but she didn't try to stop me with, being with my grandmother and things like that.
So your grandmother had an ability, and you inherited it from her?
Yeah, I inherited it, and I have my son, George. he has a great ability. And then my daughter, she's got a great ability at business and running social media, but she's very afraid, so she won't do it at all. Yeah, she has nothing to do with that.
What is your forte in paranormal?
Can just repeat yourself. I'm just a little hard of hearing. I got my earbuds on, but it keeps, like, I don't know what's wrong with the phone. It's like on really low. So
what is your forte in the paranormal?
My forte in the paranormal is I love doing EVPs. Everybody has a special thing that they do or they gravitate to, and maybe the spirits, you know, compliment them with extra EVPs or great evidence like that. And I seem to attract a lot of EVPs, and not just the EVPs, but EVPs done by other people. Like if I have an event and they're holding the, you know, recorder, I seem to, I'm not going to say, I don't like the term ghost magnet, but, you know, people use that, other people use that, but I just have a way with that, and I like that. I also, and that would probably be my first forte, and the other one would be is using the dowsing rods. I do a lot of teaching at schools. We talk about different things with the paranormal at schools, and it's all done based on science, and so we don't have a scare factor when it comes with dealing with children. Dowsing is a science, and it's been around for thousands of years. So I try to take that approach that we're looking for energy, which we know that remains. And whether that energy will help move the dowsing rods or not, I don't know. But let's not stand near a water main or an electric circuit breaker or a window to blow them and they'll move. You know, you have to set some, you know, like baseline coordinates before you start even exploring with dowsing rods and things.
Which leads us into, might as well do our shameless for our sponsor, Electric Light Dowsing.
Sure.
Electric Light Dowsing Rods, these are amazing. They were created by the group North Canton Detectives in Ohio. New solid precision ball bearing handcrafted electric light dowsing rods are amazing. These divining rods come in an amazing five neon colors and two sizes. They are awesome. Chris, they come with a scabbard. This skin, she had one set, and we had the that they were running like Zena, and what was Zena's sidekick?
Gabby.
There they were. They were running around with the dowsing rods. Now, it's amazing. Electric light dowsing rods. You could get them on Amazon.com.
Not off.
You should get them today.
To Amazon.
No.
Come on.
We're 5 foot and under.
I know. With Amazon,
I mean,
and Amazon.com. You know. you know, electric light dowsing rods, get them today. They're amazing. I don't know if you've ever seen them. They really are really cool.
You can douse in the dark and still see
what's happening.
I like
I do too.
Oh,
I like
yeah, that's incredible. I have my dowsing rods I bought from the Dowsing Society over 20 years ago, and they actually had glow-in-the-dark tips on them, so you could see when we were filming for Ghost Stories of New England, you could actually see in infrared, you could see them, they're glowing, and that was the coolest thing. Yeah, I like that. Now, when I use dowsing rods, I don't use the ones that have a sheath on them. You're actually holding the bare metal. Reason being, because I want you to feel I want you to feel them heat up. I want you to feel the energy that goes through. It kind of gives you like a little electric shock feeling, and you can feel them move in your own hand. And I don't touch them. I let you do it. I show you how to do it, stuff like that. And that's what I do a lot of that at conventions, or if I do an event or am invited to an event, I will do demonstrations of such.
Like four different sets of dowsing rods, I think. We got electric dowsing rods about a year ago, and they're amazing. I mean, we like old school stuff. A lot of people do not.
You
know, they still beep. It's cool.
All I can say is, you know what, 200 years ago when we didn't have electricity, we relied on old school. It's still solid. And, it's still solid, and it still works.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
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 So, going in a whole different direction.
Okay.
About names and nicknames in the journal, like Adrienne, okay. The Ice Queen. And I totally understand why she's the Ice Queen. Have you ever seen the name? Bam. Then there's Mish with Magnet, who she's constantly is just drawn to her. How did you get the Queen of the Paranormal?
Well, I became the Queen of the Paranormal. This is really easy. Back in 2007, I believe, when I was doing a show called Cece the Huntress, I used the name Cece Carroll. Cece was a hell of a lot easier to pronounce than Carosha Carroll, Ona Carroll. So we just went with that because I also hosted a show in primetime up here on WNDS, which is an ABC affiliate, called The Everything Show. And we put ghost stories of New England on there. And so with that, you know, I did a lot of paranormal radio interviews and things. And so I would have to gauge it about 2007. A gentleman called into a radio show and he said, I'm going to dub you the Queen of the Paranormal. And I said to myself, oh, I like that. So I kept it and trademarked it. And that was it. And I thank that gentleman. I wish I had his name, but I do. I say the same story to everybody that that is a very, very cool guy did that. So what I was doing was putting, you know, Cece the Huntress, Queen of the Paranormal. And then I hooked up with Mark Tetlow. I'm sure you've all heard about him from Ideal Event Management. I was with Mark for 5 years. And as you know, he got caught doing some illicit things and bad things for the paranormal. And he went to jail. And so, but I was with him before all that. And I would do a lot of events and things like that. And he was okay, except for there was no growth and development. And when you're starting to build a career, you need growth and development. You just don't need to do events like every weekend. I wanted growth and development and PR and placement on different things other than paranormal as well. So they weren't able to provide that. So I parted ways very nicely because everything was, you know, very good with him at that time. And he has quirks, we all do. And then I went with a gentleman named Gary Somers, who said, you know, why don't we, you know, call you a Transylvanian name? And I said, well, what about using my real name? And like nobody knew it. That's why I grew up with Carosha or Carosha. And so we decided to use that and kind of went into more of an international realm with guidance and coaching and growth and development. And now I'm with World Star Productions, Jimmy Starr and Ron Russell and Eileen Shapiro. Eileen Shapiro, they call her the rock and roll interviewer because she does high profile interviews with a lot of rock stars. And she's a editor and reporter for the Huffington Post, which I've been in about 4 times now with that newspaper. And so that's where you go as far as career goes. You have to build, and you have to do hard work. Your work has to be sound, and you have to be able to prove it. And through that, you get recognized. And then, you know, they write nice things about you in the paper. Like that, but it's a constant, you know, it's just constant hard work when it comes to spreading the word of the paranormal, and that's what I'm dedicated to do. I've been doing it for many, many years, and there's many different media. What am I trying to say? You that I'm half thinking in Polish over here. No, there's a lot of media outlets. Other than having to go the standard way for like a ghost hunting program or ghost hunting, you know, shows like that. I do a lot of work where it comes to like writing children's books with the gentleman who were the cartoon artist for Jim Henson and the Muppets and the Muppet Babies and things. And those books are based on the Queen of the Paranormal and healing and hitting hard subjects at a children's level so they can understand, whether it's child abuse or it could be bullying, anti-bullying campaigns. This is what we tackle with the Queen of the Paranormal in the children's books. And I don't think I'm getting off topic. I'm sorry.
I was going to ask you how you got to Bill Diamond.
Billy Diamond and I, we have been friends for so many years. Oh, my God, we travel together. He is a wonderful person, just a sweetheart. And we're just about finished with the very first book, but the second book's halfway complete already because I like to keep things going. You've got to constantly move out of sight, out of mind. And but Billy Diamond, I like to call him, he's one of my mentors. If I had a problem, let's say on these very large conventions that I do, I don't understand things that go on in politics. You know, hey, everywhere you go, there's drama in politics. And he always gave me sound advice and how to, navigate through all of that. And, you know, I was concerned, for one example, I was concerned about I had a friend who was put in a very bad location as far as, I guess, I thought, at a Comic-Con. Oh, that's a terrible spot, I'm thinking. And Bill Diamond told me, he said, nothing's a terrible spot. People will die for what we have. And they do, you know. You're on the bill. Hey, fun that. So I did, and Bill is right. There, in a Comic-Con, there is no bad spot. You are who you are. You do publicity, you either draw or you don't. There's no qualms about that. So he's taught me very well when it comes to navigating the ins and outs of the Comic Cons. And so that's how I know Bill. Do you want to know him? I can hook you up.
Sure. I've always been a fan of his work. I'm a little comic book geek. But
Wow.
And I was just curious on how that collaboration got to happen and for these children's books, and thank you very much for filling us in. But he did give advice. There is a bad spot at a con, and there is no bad con. A lot of people get frustrated. No. They'll go to a con, maybe it's a first year con or whatever, and it's poorly attended, but there's a reason. You get to meet other people, you get to network, you get to do things. Chris, I, and Amy right now, I'm part of the team, are traveling the country. We're hooking up at different locations with the rest of the team because our paranormal team is so widespread. I mean, we cover coast to coast from Maine to Nevada. And, now we're in Gasport, New York. We're going to be at Greystone Manor this weekend, and we're on way to Iowa, Illinois, Missouri, Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, Texas.
And what do you do in all these places that you go to?
What we've been doing is we've been traveling the country for the past, 3 years, very, very heavily on preserving history through the paranormal.
I think that's important. I commend you for that. Absolutely. That is a beautiful and wonderful thing and something that has to be done.
I mean, it's Chris, Amy, and I have the passion for this. Our team has tremendous dedication. We just did Iron Island, which we could have used you. Nobody spoke Polish, and we were getting things in Polish.
Oh, really? Moja droga, ja cię kocham. I can do it.
The only Polish I know is pierogi.
Pierogis. Oh, my God. I love pierogis. I make them handmade over the holidays. And we have the first with it, and the valia, we do valia, on Christmas time,
and else. And Chris is a little more versed. She knows a little bit more words, but
bocce and chunchi.
bocce. I can hardly hear you. I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
Chris.
She said bocce.
Bocce, chunchi.
Oh, Chucha, yes. Aunt. That's your aunt. My aunt Chucha, my Chucha Sally. Saucha is Sally, Manya is Mary, Marisha is Maria, Deboris is Debbie, and Kasia is Kathy. We all are Polish, and we all have our Polish names. And, I like to be able to converse, and I tell people to, you know, please come and see me if maybe we can have a chat. And they do. And they believe me, they do. They line up. Talking all kinds of messages at me. I'm like, whoa.
You know, that's really important. And when you get into certain locations, you have a big melting pot of cultures, which
right.
Iron Island did. There was a lot of Polish immigrants, a lot of Italian, German, and Irish
mm-hmm.
immigrants. I don't know if you're familiar with Iron Island at all, the museum, but it's right outside of Buffalo. And the reason it's called Iron Island, that section of town, is because it's circled by railroad tracks.
Mm-hmm.
So that was their industry, so they called it Iron Island. It was
yeah.
really, 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 really cool place. And they do quite often get a Polish-speaking VPs. So if we
yeah.
have anything I can take out and we confirm it's Polish, send it to you for translation.
Just send it to me or go to Google Translate. Polish, they have so many dialects. The dialect that I'm familiar with is on the Russian border. And, in fact, that's where my relatives came from. And many of them were participated in the Russian army and whatnot because we're right on the border there. On the other side, my maternal grandparents, they were more like politicians, police officers, and things like that on the other side. So,
you know, you're a very vivid woman. You know,
I'm a what woman?
When in following you,
driven.
You're a very driven woman.
Well, we all have to have a job, right? I like to talk about the paranormal and bring it to life on many levels. When it comes to children, I love that. Right now, like I said, I'm doing the book with Guy Gilchrist, who was Jim Henson's cartoonist and did all the cartoons for the Muppet Babies and things like that. So we're working on a book of child abuse. And every message has a positive ending. And we really do. And it's strange to deal with child abuse and then have a positive outcome. So we've been able to do that. That book's halfway done. But, I think it's fabulous to have ideas and create things and be able to promote the paranormal at the same time when you do it. Paranormal is not just all ghost hunting. Paranormal is a world of everything and anything when it comes to cryptozoology, when it comes to UFOs, when it comes to the unknown or supernatural or folklore. It's anything that is parallel to normal but not normal. And I like to do that. I have my own way to do it. And it's becoming quite successful at this point for me and my family because we're a family-run business.
And thank you for saying that because, you know, we constantly are saying, you know, what paranormal is the things that we can't explain. That's what's paranormal.
Right.
I mean, as investigators, you know, you go in to prove
yeah.
what it can be, not what it isn't.
Exactly.
What's left is paranormal. And when we get these
yeah.
great EVPs or some, you know, video evidence or audio evidence or, you know, or those who are gifted like Chris and you and, you know, who feel spirit energy and feel that energy, that's something totally
mm-hmm.
different and really hard to explain to people.
You can't explain it, and the closest I've ever gotten to connect with people is when I do the large conventions and they come over by my appearing table and I demonstrate with the dowsing rods with them and they can feel it. Now, when they feel it and I'm not touching it and I'm not moving those rods and they're acting on command, they get sensations of the person or animal that was with them. Sometimes they can smell the perfume from their mom. They hear things. They might have their hair pulled, or they feel their loved one caressing their arm. All of these sensations and feelings come flooding back to them through the energy receptors of those dowsing rods into the hands, into their whole body. And if that's not convincing, I don't know what is. You know, but I've done this with many celebrities who have literally just just stood there. They just can't believe what's happening. And they actually have gotten messages and closure depending on how the rods move. They specifically ask for something and they got it. And that's how I would say that I can show people that the energy does remain, because they're readily available and, you know, to use them. And then I tell people, yeah, you can go to my site and buy dowsing rods. I don't even know if I have them up anymore, but, or you could just get coat hangers. I never try to rip anybody off or anything like that. When I do events and I do conventions, I take a percentage right off the top. And it goes to animal shelters, rescue programs, or food shelters and pantries, things like that, immediately. I'm always giving back, and I'm always helping, whether it's women or men, try to obtain their goal. And it's not just a goal for, oh, I want to be a paranormal superstar, ho, ho. No. Maybe you want to have a cooking show. Maybe you want a music show. Maybe you don't want any of that. Maybe you want to be a politician. Maybe you just need some coaching when it comes to being in front of the media. There is a way to do it, and there is a style about it, and you develop your own style. But I have mentored many people who have gone on to have record contracts, book deals, movie contracts, you know, and the like, because I really like to help other people. Been stabbed in the back a lot, but you know, I don't let that bother me. I figure that the people that I can reach, even if it's just one, it's well worth it.
You know, KO, we do have a caller. Hold on one second.
Sure.
Hi, Paranormal Collaboration. Welcome to the show. You have a question for KO?
Yeah, I do have a question. There have been some paranormal teams, celebrities, whatnot, that like to host paranormal events, and for whatever reason they might get canceled. How do you think they should be approached to the public who don't like get their money back? Do you think they should get their money back, or should that money go towards another event?
Well, I would have to tell you, in my experience, when I was working with Mark Tetlow, I was aware of some crazy things that guy has done. But then when I left him, he turned into, he got, you know, he was in jail for embezzling, I don't know, it was like $170,000. So he was on the way end of the spectrum. And he worked with a lot of real paranormal celebrities. And so he stole their money, and the events got canned, and he kept the money. He wouldn't refund the money. And I just look at it this way. Keep everything legal. If you run an event, I was always taught, and I've run many, many events over the years, and I've never had a sold-out event. But if I were to have an event, I would make sure that I could pay for it out of pocket first, before anything else, because you never know what could happen during one. You know, you're buying food for the event, you've got to purchase this, you've got to purchase that, and let's say the building burns down. And you're like, oh, my God, I can't have the event, but I just put all this money into stuff, you know, from the ticket sales. I have to refund the money, but I don't have it because I had to buy other things. Your audience don't care. They just want their money back. So that's why when I ran the events, I made sure I had that money, and I never touched the ticket money. I always had money in case that the event, something would happen. Inevitably, it's like Russian roulette. Things do happen, and it does. But, and again, going back to events like that, do everything legally. Get permission first off, no matter where you go. That's a good thing. Always carry insurance. Insurance is a blessing. Trust me with this. When I did events, I was insured through the Hartford years ago, and it insured my events 3 days before and I think 4 days afterwards, because people travel. The celebrities would travel to the event, and you want to make sure everyone's covered and no one got hurt. Make sure your vendors have tax ID numbers, because if the state comes down on you, you're screwed. That's it. And keep everything legal. If you do everything legal, dot, you know, the I's and cross the T's, you won't ever have a problem. And we all know how the paranormal is filled with drama, politics, and everybody wanting to climb over everybody to be something for 3 minutes on a TV show. It's like, what? That's, I thought we were in it just to share positive things and educate people to the world of the unknown. That's what I do. And so you gotta pay the people back and just do, if you do everything the right way and the legal way, then you should never have a problem. You should never have to look behind your back. You've done the right thing. And
Dave,
you know,
does that
that's what I can say on that.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much, Payo. God bless you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You know, he brought up a really good question. Hello?
Oh, I'm here. I'm listening to you.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He brought up a really good question about, you know, about events. I mean, different events for different reasons. And, you know, it's just not, you know, one in particular person. I mean, it's happened over the years. And, you know, it is a tragedy. And it is the people of the paranormal, whether they're fans of a TV show or fans of you or, you know, fans of us or our podcasts or whatever, you know, it's up to us to give them what they want. And that's a cool, it's a great way to do things. And you know things happen, you know, and it happens a lot, and you're right, there's a lot of a drama in the paranormal. And you know, we try to steer, we're Switzerland, everybody's welcome, we get along with everybody, talk to everybody, and you know, that's how it is, you know. Moving on to my next question for you is, you
sure.
started Paranormal Day, National Paranormal Day.
.org. I did not start National Paranormal Day. National Paranormal Day was formed probably 3 years ago for May 3rd. And what that did was it celebrated Paranormal Day. But the problem with that is it seemed to be more focused on just the United States and just ghost hunting. This is what I would see, even though they would say, hey, we, you know, all aspects of the paranormal. So what I did was I came out with a declaration proclamation that made it a little more palatable when it came to worldwide exposure. And that's what I wanted. I wanted not just USA paranormal stuff. I wanted it to be global. I wanted everybody who was an enthusiast of the paranormal to be able to share thoughts, examples. We can all learn things from people, and especially lay people who aren't, like, if they're just a paranormal enthusiast, boy, the ideas and the things that they have, we could learn from that. And so that's why I went forward to put it. It gave it more legitimacy, and it gave it more marketability, and it gave it more credence. Without that, it was kind of stuck just with the paranormal there in the corner. Now it has a global focus, and we have, again, World Star PR to push that forward as well, along with Galaxy Global Television Network. That's connected with it, and that's a global broadcasting company that I work on their stations and stuff.
That's amazing. And what does the future hold for Paranormal Day?
What does the future hold for Paranormal Day? Geez, I hope it grows and it flourishes. And I hope that people, you know, really come to know that the paranormal is fun. Hey, everyone's intrigued by it. So why don't we open it up for the whole world, for every single genre of the paranormal and unknown, and celebrate it together? That's what's important. It's not just a single genre stuck in the United States. And that's the aspect I didn't like. What I wanted to do is to create something that acknowledged that it was May 3rd and acknowledged that it was by somebody. You know, no one knows who created it. And you know, I just thank that person for doing that, whoever that person was. And they say it was created for a certain person. Well, you know what? I recreated it for all paranormal enthusiasts, not just one. It's for everybody to share in the happiness and all the stuff when it comes to the paranormal unknown.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. I mean, even though, you know, we're more known for our paranormal investigations, you know, we do crossover, and we have met so many awesome people in the world and UFO world and
sure.
just the unexplained. And, you know, we were in Salt Fork, Ohio.
Salt Fork, Ohio.
And Chris and I, you know, we're traveling in an RV. Chris, Amy, and I are traveling in an RV. Chris and I decided we were going to go down. We're having a blast. We met so many awesome people on the road, and we get these local stories. And we went down to a rodeo. Chris and I went down to a rodeo, kind of chill out, talk to the people around there. They started telling us a story about ghost in the trees. Now, you're paranormal investigator. Well, there's a ghost in the trees. What they didn't tell us is the ghost in the trees was actually
Sasquatch.
And that's how they referred to him. Why we were at the rodeo, Amy was sitting, you know, up at the RV, and we come up, I heard this weirdest sound.
And heard it like 3 or 4 times.
And she's going on, and then we're like, okay, what did it sound like? So we got in touch with Steve Coles. We called him. He's a great cryptozoologist that we're friends with, one of many, and we gave him a call and kind of explained what we heard. And he's like, you know, you're in one of the top 10 places in the country for Sasquatch, right? I'm like, so we ended up talking to some more people and, you know, got the story, and there was a sighting a few weeks before we were there, and close to the area where we were camping. And so, you know, what Amy heard very well could have been. So we decided we were going to go on a 1.5-mile hike to the location where this sighting 20 years ago, and commemorated it with a
giant paper mache like
Sasquatch out there in the middle of the woods. and the sighting was. So we decided we're going to for this 1.5-mile easy hike, which turned into
3.5 miles of beating down our own path. In 4 hours.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God.
So Amy and Bigfoot got along very well.
Yeah. So, I mean, we do need to cross, you know, and talk. And, you know, all of these things are part of the paranormal. I know about 5 years ago, Chris and I had a phone conversation with John Ventry. And, you know, John's a big UFO guy. And he flat out said to us, he's like, you know what? He says, I think I've had more paranormal experiences than UFO experiences, and I think the UFO experiences are really paranormal.
Very well be. I think they're all intertwined. I think it's fabulous to be able to celebrate it all in unison as one, globally, not just one country, not just one thing. Because it's everywhere.
We all have a lot to learn from each other, you know. We just share ideas.
Well, that's what I was saying. We can share things. We can talk about things. And I just thought, you know, after, you know, really giving it some thought, it wasn't like a simple decision. Hey, because, you know, whenever you do something in the paranormal, you get the drama freaks and everybody else. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, you're that good. Why aren't you standing here with me? And why didn't you think of it? Okay, why don't you just shut up and sit down? Okay, until you can think of something formidable and push it forward on a global level. I don't want to hear what you say. You don't pay for my retirement. If you did, maybe I'd listen to you. That's all. I tell people, hey, way it goes. But like I said, I'm dedicated to the paranormal and helping others and to try to keep it fair and genuine for everybody. And that's something I do, whether it's the books I've written, whether it's the books, the children's books I've written, whether it's the different awards I've won on IMDb. I think I got like 47, 18 or 19 of them are IMDb qualifying awards. I have 8 on my page. This will be, I think there's more on Tag Team Productions and Chris and Nina, the directors, whether it's under Tag Team or Killer Bees production, the rest will be remaining. IMDb is like a puzzle to try to figure out. You go from this site to that site to the other site. But
yes, it is.
Those are an IMDb qualifying film award is enormous. And I've got a lot of those with a film called Silent Times. And Silent Times was the first recreation of of silent film in 80 years. And so that was, and that was all done about anti-bullying. That was the campaign. Chris Anino, who is the director and CEO of President, whatever you want to call it, of Tag Team Productions, LLC, in Connecticut. I sit on the board of directors there, and we make films that matter, whether it's sex trafficking, anti-bullying, cancer survival, and the like, you know, sexual harassment. These movies are hard-hitting, and they're done on different platforms. Like I said, the silent film, which has won so many awards. We just did, we did an award, I think it was the Bermuda Film Festival with Meryl Streep, and that is an Academy Award qualifying film festival, and we were honored in a selection there. We didn't win or anything like that, because if we did, we'd be going to Academy Awards, but that didn't happen, and who cares? But so, but we were honored for being selected and being there, and that's tremendous for a small film company to do. So I thank Chris Anino for his dedication and spirit to go forward every day. And people that we work with all have disabilities. We all do. There's nobody normal. We're all paranormal. So whether you have a stress and anxiety or post-traumatic stress syndrome or whatever, our group is made up of people that have disabilities, and we put together films that matter. And I think that's why we're a winning combination when it comes to IMDb and the different film festivals that we do. So we're still busy in doing that too. And I do, I work, a lot of people don't even know this, but I do assistant casting on a lot of shows. It's uncredited, but my name's on IMDb for it. It's not a credited thing. It's a paid thing. So, yeah, and you'll see some announcements being made that way. And my special announcement, which I did not post today because of the violence and the murders that happened in Dayton, Ohio, and El Paso, Texas, I didn't want to post it. But I'm appearing with Elvira end of October. So that's amazing because she's horror, I'm paranormal. So Chiller Convention has got all the things covered for this year for a great Halloween show convention, and I'm excited to be there. And it's I'm such a fan of hers. I'm like a groupie. Hey, you know, I think you go to these things, you see all your stars of yesteryear, and you're like, oh my God, look at that. That's a guy from the Beverly Hillbillies. And you know, you just go trotting off, or you see somebody from Seinfeld, and you're like, oh geez. You know, then I got to remind myself, people are here to see me too. I better get back to work.
So tell us about Paranormal 13 News.
Paranormal 13 News is a news program owned by Galaxy owned by Bruce Knight, who owns Galaxy Global Network. It's owned by Ronnie James, who owns Hot Rocks TV, and it's owned by me, with KO Productions. And it is a paranormal news formatted program, and it is for global distribution through Simply Me in, where is that? I don't know. I think it's in Connecticut. So what we do is we put together, they put together this program and had asked me if I would host it, get the girls, follow all the rules, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I did. And I developed the show. And we are in 195 countries, which is all the countries in the world anyway. So we're, and it's not YouTube, it's broadcast television. And we have other ways to watch it. We're in Big South on Comcast. And we, they do have their Roku station, like many people do. But we've just gone and integrated with Simul TV and Jam TV. Now, Simul TV and Jam TV all of a sudden bring it to a much bigger level of actually being placed in over 2 million households. It's not a joke. Oh, wow. These are actual, these are numbers through the press package and press releases. If you go, I can send you that stuff if you want, so you can look it over.
Yeah, great.
And what they offered me to be able to do that, and I liked it. But you know, you're working with three people. There's three of us, so nothing can be. We all have to make decisions in unison, and that's called the corporate business world, and it is stressful. And there are some times, you know, I do confide in some people who are just Titus breakdown, you know, it's hard. Global is hard. It's not like cable or sci-fi or travel channel. We're in all these countries that they're not. And it's a big, big, hefty job. And so we went through some different recruitment lately. I've incorporated a thing called Paranormal Special Reports, which is a different type of program. And I offered it, you know, to the newscasters on Paranormal 13 News if they would want to do something. You know, I would give them their very own television show through the special reports. And I don't know if they, being in that category and elevated that high, I think people, you know, it's all fun to talk about, but when push comes to shove, can you really do it? And many people can't. It's hard. And so we decided as a network, because nobody wanted to do it, that they would go back to their paid format, where if you want to be on a show, then you pay for the airtime, basically. And it's funny because you offer it for free, nobody wants it. The minute you put like a $3,500 price tag on a half an hour, they all went crazy. And we have so many programs to look over between music, cooking. It's not just paranormal for Galaxy Global, but there are a lot of other things that I'm into and pushing these programs forward as well. So Paranormal 13 News is a great format. It helps. It started off by helping women want to exchange commerce on a global level, and that could exchange commerce on a global level. Whether you sell a book, you can hook it up for this or that. But now we expanded it to men too, because why be biased? And give everybody an opportunity to sell and be seen at a level that they couldn't even afford the advertising for, or even a 5-second, you know, audio clip on.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to give that to them, and I'm proud of that.
You know, that's amazing. Like I said, you're a very driven woman. There's a lot of things that, you know, you do. You know, when you're traveling, you visit soup kitchens, you do homeless shelters, you do healing, you do a lot of things. So, you know, and that's, you know, very commendable and speaks volumes about the type of person that you are, you know.
Thank you.
And we're very honored that we had you on here. We have about 8 minutes left.
Wow.
This hour flies.
really did. And we didn't even cover the comic book stuff. Whoa.
I know, right? we'll have to have you back on at a later date.
We'll talk about comic book stuff, and then I can hook you up with some comic book people if that's what you'd like. You know, I'm more than willing to, you know, like I said, I this is what I do. I help people obtain their goals, and that's what I like to do.
And that's awesome. And you know, we liked, you know, when Chris and I sat down to develop this show, it was all about collaboration. It's all about helping each other. It's all about everybody could help learn from each other. Because para-unity is bullshit. There's no such thing.
You'll
never have para-unity, but you can collaborate. So, you know, there's a big difference.
You know what? At least I look at it this way. Whether you're in the entertainment industry or paranormal industry, I'm kind of like in both right now, you know, got a foot in each. In rock and roll, I was a singer for the Joe Cocker Band. I was a backup singer, and I also sang with the Rolling Stones, Tom Jones, Bobby Vinton. I was a vocalist at that time. I graduated the Hayes Conservatory of Music, part of the Art Colony School in Latham, New York. I trained athletically. And it's just, there's always honor amongst thieves. Have you ever heard that expression?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have.
In rock and roll, there's honor amongst thieves. We always support each other. We go to each other's events. We don't really talk behind each other's backs. We're competitive, but we're happy. In paranormal, they throw their mother under the bus to get a 3-second spot somewhere. It's like,
yes, they would.
Whoa, that's dangerous. That's very dangerous. I mean, people, they lose their families over the paranormal. It just blows my mind. Like, why would you do that? Chasing a ghost. Why do you want to be one? I mean, that's what they're heading for.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's
just
crazy.
Take your knowledge take your knowledge, share it on a positive, beat, and be done with it.
And it can be done. So what is,
yes, it can.
Where can people see what's up and coming for KO?
Well, they can go to the website, queenoftheparanormal.com, and from there they can get into all the social media, and I have to update it with some other things that are happening right now. So if you go to the events, they're not all on there. I do apologize, but I do run my own website, and I have to put some more things up. And I do a lot of private, celebrity ghost hunting events, and we can talk about that another day. And I'm working with the mob. A lot of people don't know that. We're doing a production, and these are actual wise guys. They're former wise guys, La Costa Nostra, La Familia, the mob, the mafia. And we're putting a project together doing that. And people say, are you afraid of working with these people? No, not one bit, because I welcome all and I heal all. I'm a spiritual advisor to many, whether it's, the Chingling Nomad Club, which is a motorcycle gang that it's the only motorcycle gang that the Hell's Angels actually endorse and recommend. So we have high profile people that we work with on different productions. That's coming up. And just driven, and all of it is paranormal based. It's to share positivity, healings, and just like that.
Well, that's amazing. So do you have any chiller you have coming up? When and where is that?
I have, Chiller Theater is October 25th through the 27th. I have Super Mega Fest. I'm at SilCon. That's right, they're flying me out.
You're at
SilCon? Yeah, I'm at SilCon. That's going to be September 5th. I fly out on the 5th. I was just going over this with my husband, my travel plans. I'll be there the 6th and 7th. And then on the 8th, when I go home, I will be down at a cemetery called Bachelor's Grove. I'll be down there for photographs and things. So, they're flying me out, and I will be there as an appearing guest for SilCon. So that seems to be a cool thing to do.
It does. Chris and I will be at SilCon. We're speaking at SilCon.
Amy will be there.
And Amy will be there as well.
Really? Oh, my
yes.
God. This is like old home week. This is fun.
Yeah,
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I met him at the Eric Knapp had a Paracon in Manchester, and the girls from Paranormal 13 News went. It was kind of like practice for them to get used to interviewing people and things. So, yeah, it was a very nice show and very nice people. And, I look forward to SilCon. I think it'd be great. We're having the people that made me the superhero comic book status, like comic book history, believe it or not. We're all going to be together. And some of these people I have never met. I just work with when we're doing the different comic things. And we're all going to be together, because that is comic book history. It's something you can't take away. It's indisputable. And it's going to be nice to be with everybody to, get to greet the public. That'd be fun.
Well, that's great. This is our time is over. Next week we have Julia Saragusa will be joining us next week to talk about Cropsey, I'm betting, and the new documentary that they produced, which will be a lot of fun. Looking forward to speaking with Julia. You could find us at Greystone Manor this weekend in Gasport, New York, which is going to be a phenomenal investigation. There's a ton of history. Tickets left. And we have people, our favorite stalkers are coming in. Right now, we do have to say, what did we say, Duke? We didn't say hello to Clem.
Yes, Clem.
Clem, our good friend in Australia.
Clem, I'm sorry we cut it to an hour, but, your boss should be happy about that. We love you and Heather, and hi to all our listeners. We love all of you, too.
Yeah, we have some great stalkers. Yep.
Yeah, I do. You know, I do too.
Oh, you know,
I just hope
really
they don't
cool
follow me to Silicon.
And I know some of them will. And Richard, thank you so much for my Snoopy stuffed animal.
And my Lamborghini. Still got a Snoopy. I got a Lamborghini.
But yeah, we do. We have some, you know, we have some awesome people who follow us around the country, and it's amazing. And you know, we're happy. So Julia Saragusa next week. KO, thank you so much for coming on with us tonight. We definitely have
you in person.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, we'll see you at SoCon.
Thank
you. We will talk.
And I'm looking forward to a lot of happy times with you guys at SoCon. Just, you know, hugs and kisses and pictures and just being positive. That means the world to me.
Yeah, it'll be great. Looking forward to speaking with you there. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Paranormal Collaboration with Chris and Bill Reap. We will see you.
Producer Amy?
I was getting there. The Ice Queen.
The Ice Queen.
You know what?
And I'm telling you, if you ever see Amy first thing in the morning, you will understand why she is the Ice Queen. And why she isn't named Gracie.
So,
thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening,
everyone.
Paranormal Collaboration. We will see you all back here next week, where we'll be coming to you live from New York again. Where are we? Parrish, New York.
Yes.
So we'll see you then. Thanks for listening, and have a great night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.